Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Hi, Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live. I'm visiting today with Mike Giardina. Mike is the president of Office Tools Pro. Or I guess, Mike, that's really the product name. Is that right?
That's correct, Greg.
And the company name is?
North 40 Systems.
North 40 Systems. Exactly right. You have two correct answers now. And if you get a third, well, I don't know what you'll get if you get a third correct answer. So, Mike, we're going to spend some time talking about Office Tools Pro, kind of an add-on conversation to the review that we're in the middle of doing, and will be published in the CPA Technology Advisor, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Office Tools Pro product and stuff, but tell me just a little bit about your background. You've been in the software industry for a while, but you're really used to have an honest job. You used to be in accounting, right?
Well, sadly enough, yeah. And I got out of that very quickly, but my background started out of college working for a company called CCH, and they gave me a great background in computer software. I did a variety of things with them, from product specialists and tax specialists, and eventually started my own consulting business about 16 years ago, and started consulting to small accounting firms, and had my own practice for a short time, and I've worked for a few practices, and thus kind of the industry kind of taught me about small businesses, and then at that point in time of discovery, I decided that maybe there was software that needed to be produced very specifically for the small office, and help them out.
Right. So, yeah, at that point, that was the birth time of Office Tools Pro. So that's been around for a while. Give me some metrics. How many firms? What kind of users do you have? People, we're accountants. We always want to know the numbers.
Okay. Well, we have just over 5,000 users, and the percentage of that is in the 90 percentile accounting tax people. These are CPAs, EAs, anybody in the accounting industry, even some bookkeepers.
Okay. And Mike, a user, Mike, in your lexicon is a firm. Is that correct?
No, that is, for us, is a license.
A license is a person. So one firm may have five users. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Our average user base is right about five users,
okay.
Too.
Okay, all right. So there's a roughly 1,000 firms out there, if, using the rule of large numbers. There's roughly 1,000 firms out there using Office Tools Pro to do, I'm going to call this practice management, but, you guys kind of slice this differently. You do more than practice management. How do you fit in the market, Mike?
Well, we see ourselves as practice management, certainly, but more of the office management, which is derived from any office that will be managing staff and workload, from phone calls to scheduling. And so we don't just focus on the time and billing and the due date monitoring, but we're trying to bring the entire process of business ownership and how they manage an office. So we want to really present ourselves to the business owners first to bring productivity up from the staff standpoint, but give tools to an owner to manage. And so that's why we probably say office management a bit.
Sure.
When you hear about us.
Right. Okay. So an awful lot of accountants, we cram a lot of our work into those first few months, and then this kind of becomes the install and implement season. How is that busy season going for you this year?
Well, we always love this time of year because we're twiddling our thumbs a little bit in February and March because we do primarily, sell to the accounting industry. And as you know, it's very quiet at that time. So when we kick off in May, It's a very exciting time for us, and we are doing installations and trainings across the country. Those numbers hit really hard in like a May-June period and start to dwindle down again. And then, believe it or not, we do almost 50% of our business after October 16th or 15th, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely believe there's a couple of busy times, I would think, I speak with hundreds of accountants, and what I see many of them do is get very religious right after tax season. I'm not doing that again. I'm gonna come up with a solution to my practice management, office management problems, and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna get active. I'm going to figure out what to buy, and I'm going to get that done. And so that always happens in May and June. And then the 4th of July comes, and things get kind of quiet. And, you know, you're sitting on the boat and having a beer and not thinking too much about how bad it was. And then you got some tax returns that you got to get done. And all of a sudden, next tax season starts coming along, and you go, oh, my goodness, I don't want to do that again. I want to get so Mike gets busy again.
You're absolutely right, Greg. That is perfectly explained as to how the ebb and flow of our selling season and accountant's life works.
Okay. So where do these people come from? Your new users, are they people who are, you know, I think probably the most widely used system is probably Excel or a piece of paper and a pencil. You know, they come from, I didn't have a system at all, or are they moving up from just a pure time and billing system, or they're moving down? I mean, some people go out and buy too much. Where do they come from?
Well, for our users, Greg, what we're seeing, the new sales are coming across the board from a variety of sources. Now, very few are brand-new businesses, hey, I'm starting new, or I've divested myself or merged in. That does happen. But what we see is people have been hunting for many, many years. In some cases, we've had one guy said he was waiting for 35 years to see a product like ours because they're coming from a variety of applications and sources, whether they're using too large of a product like some of our competitors when you're talking about software design for large firms, or they're using a kind of a dissected group of things, you know, a little time and billing program, a little Outlook, a little Excel. And we still find today that our new sales are generated from people who are using a variety of things and who are looking for some consolidation, not just the kind of consolidation that we see with a tax program and maybe a practice management suite, but some consolidation in everything in their office. And they find us and absolutely go, where have you been hiding all my life, you know?
So, sure.
And that's what we're seeing mostly. Very few are brand new firms being generated out there.
Right. So the I guess what I want to ask you, Mike, is what your users like most about your product, but I'm going to take away part of that because I know that people are rabid in their admiration for Office Tools Pro in this, it's finally a system designed for me, the small practitioner. You know, there's seven of us, or there's three of us, or there's nine of us, and I love it because it's just for us. Taking that part away, what's the one thing that users most like about Office Tools Pro?
Well, I think you stole a lot of my thunder, but I'll try to answer that. That really is the truth in it when we get people who say, you finally designed it for me. I think what happens is when you see our initial screen, it's almost a single screen. And that is the one thing that they recognize. They look at the screen, everything's apparent to them, and all of a sudden they realize the depth of what they can get to. And so they do like the fact that we brought it all together. We made it for them because it's designed for a small firm. I still think that is the one thing that we're seeing that people are so frustrated with the segregation of programs. So from there, how do you answer that when that is really our main thing? I think it is truly the staffing management. Certainly a sole proprietor can buy our software and use tons of its features. But once you have a group of staff that you're ultimately responsible for in every way, and you have the ability to have one piece of software, and we've merged together clients, workflow, and staffing, and in no way have we leaned one towards the other or more than one, you know, item over the other. Literally from the same screen where I'm managing my staff, I can manage clients and workflow. And at our screen, when you're able to, with one click, see exactly what one of your staff is doing and can follow up with things that you assigned them and delegate. And these business owners, the small business owner, they're saying, help me here with the management of all these staff, whether it is 3 or 9, as you mentioned,
sure,
or more. And that's the thing we're seeing is they love that. We've had business owners come to me. I had one in a users conference say, I've got 160 things on my work list, on my to-do list. And I was sure that this user was going to say, I'm just going to throw this software out. That's too much. I can't take it anymore. And this business owner looked me in the eye and said, I run my entire business from this work list. I can do everything from delegation. They have 20 staff. And it is phenomenal to hear people say that. And I say that's probably the one thing, this ability to take care of what's really interrupting
sure
the day and how you have to manage 3 or 4 or 20 staff.
Okay. Now, so let me ask you a really hard question then, Mike. When that customer comes in, buys Office Tools Pro, calls you back in a month or two and says, you know what, this doesn't cut it in my firm, I'm going to return it, I don't want it. What causes someone to decide that they don't like your system, or for that matter, probably any system, but what's a characteristic? And maybe that never happened to you, right?
Oh, yeah, I wish we it never did. I think what happens is expectations and understanding are not exact. And what happens is people look and see how easy it is to use our software, a friendly interface that's almost a single screen, but they don't realize that they're buying about 5 programs. And they underestimate what it will take to get a real practice management suite up and running. And, of course, ours, we sell it all the time and tell people you can get ours up and running in a matter of days as opposed to weeks with some of our competitors. But the reality is, without any training, I just don't know how somebody takes 5 programs and is successful. And they're either going to be overwhelmed and frustrated and want to give it up, or they're going to only get a small sliver of what we offer running. And we'll find people coming up a year later saying, I'm only using your document management because I haven't had time to get the rest. And I think that's the big key thing, is the underestimating of what it takes to get a practice management suite up and running. And, of course, we offer user guides, which are helpful. But the honest truth is training is essential with such a large undertaking. And when you get training, you're having somebody help you so that business owner isn't getting pulled in and sucked into a deep hole of trying to set up software, which actually is one of the things that keeps them from ever buying one in the first place. They underestimate that, you know.
Right. You do a lot of work, Mike, with best practices and, you know, again, kind of specializing in that small firm. So the training, quote unquote, is a lot deeper than, you know, click on this tab and push F4. It's conceptual in how do other firms manage their workflow. What seems to work best? And of course, the software will do it lots of different ways, but it doesn't necessarily choose the right way for your firm.
Yeah, I
so
think
there,
you're right.
That's where the best practices come in, right?
It really does, because when you're able to train and talk with someone, you can derive from them what they've been doing and what they anticipate doing. And then you can talk about configuring the software and getting to work to its best ability in their situation, which will be different. And there will be a lot of similarities between firms. And I've been doing this, you know, so many years that I can see those similarities. But there are always nuances and differences. And that's the real challenge for our trainers, is to be able to interview a person who has bought the software and then help them get it set up the correct way. And that takes some hours over the phone usually. And in many cases, we do not only the user guides and phone support or training, but we also go on site, which is a really help. And that's where we tell somebody for 2 days, we'll come in and transform their whole office and the burden will be on the trainer, not the owner. And again, that's where best practices can be identified and implemented. And now you have a customer who's going to use that software forever because it's truly benefiting them and
sure.
their firm.
Sure. You know, and it's interesting. As smart as we are as a profession in coaching so many of our clients through so many decisions, as a rule, so many of us are, well, let's say, we're cheap. And sometimes we look at things like this and say, you know, the setup and the training and all that looks like that costs more than the software I can do without. But I know that there is a huge, huge, huge difference in the success rates of people who properly prepare. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, absolutely, and I think it's always about this term that we kick around, ROI, you know, return on investment. And when you're looking at software, you go into buying it because you believe it's going to change some of the methodology and improve things. And really what people should be looking at is, I may spend, and I see what you're saying, that in many cases someone will buy our software at $1,000 or $2,000 and $2,000 on training if it's on site. And what happens there is they look at that big dollar value, and it is an ouch. And all of us are cheap, not just our industry. And we're all watching that closely. But I think those who evaluate it correctly, and many do, say, you know, I'm going to make an investment. We believe that that investment is returned very rapidly. We have people who say within months I was returned that value. And then over, you know, time it's, you know, magnified. And that's what we need to be looking at to effectively make a transition in our business. This is a change in your business. Practice management is not an applet. It is a change in philosophy.
Right.
And I think that's where we have to look at that and say, can I spend this money and long-term, 6 months, year or two out, what will I get from it? We see the return on investment phenomenal because when you think about a $2,000 or $4,000 investment in your practice that might be a $750,000 business per year, this is nothing. And that's what we try and discover with our prospects, that this is possibly the juncture in time to make that kind of investment.
Sure. So, Mike, if you went back there to your support department and you could single out the one single question that they most often answer, what would that be? What generates the most user questions?
Well, I think there's two sides to that. When you talk about tech support, you're always talking about technologies, and that's a moving target. You know, we can't really answer that one very well because one day you might be dealing with a Microsoft change or service pack. Another day you might be talking about new software coming out like Vista or Windows 7. So we always hit with technology, and we have to really stay on our toes because it's a moving target that changes all the time. Now, that's from a tech support standpoint, and of course, our tech support is free of charge, so we hope that as people are calling with these issues of my computer won't do this, and yet our software is designed to do that, we have to be able to quickly move on that and fix it. From a user standpoint, from somebody who's using it, I think typically is, how do I do this? And when you look at a user guide, and I know our user guides are like how to, you know, assemble a bike type of books.
Sure.
There's no way to do training or user guides in a way that's unique to the person's questions and circumstances. And that backs me back to the training thing. And what we do in our department, even though we charge for training, all our tech support and customer service people are you know, trained to answer how do I do this questions if it takes a very little amount of time. And that's the honest truth is we get people, again, who haven't done as much training, and that's probably maybe a majority or close to 50%. And they just want to know more because the product is a deep product, and on the surface it looks simple, but it does so many different things, as I mentioned earlier.
Sure. So, Mike, let's kind of wrap up here with one question that I've been meaning to ask you for a long, long time, and now I get the chance. You know, you've got a little bit of gray hair in this business. You've been around for a while. You've watched the profession mature and the industry that serves the profession mature. Things have come a long ways in that 15 or so years or 20 years. Where do you see practice management software in 20 years? What's going to happen?
Well, you know, that's a load of questions, so if I answer it, I'm going to be embarrassed, right, because people think, well, how does he know what can happen in 20 years?
So well, we're not going to be here, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. We got an advantage, don't we? I could tell you this, that I see practice management in the years to come taking over what happens in a business practice. And let me explain what I mean. When you look at how email evolved, and we had firms who had a modem in one computer, and owners weren't even involved. I still see offices where owners don't even use a computer and answer their email. So when you see how email has evolved as a communication method, and we know life is about communication, business is about communication, good communication versus bad, managing expectations, and doing what you've promised to do. And so I see practice management taking over, especially small businesses, because practice management isn't just about an analysis after the fact. It's truly about being able to manage as you go. And what we're doing with email now as a communication method is phenomenal, but it is ineffective in some ways. We need more. And I see practice management as the more, where I can communicate with staff, they can communicate with me. We don't have to get up from our desks constantly. We don't have to have staff meetings constantly. And I'm not talking about kind of, you know, segregation or that, but to some degree that's happening anyways. When you talk about staff being able to work at home or, you know, an office being more effective where we're not all sitting in a pool of desks all interrupting one another.
Sure.
To be really effective, we have to have good communication, less interruptions, and a flow of work that makes sense. Practice management should be all about all those things, and I see that really taking over because we're talking about what efficiencies are left in an office and what problems are common to all offices, and I think practice management can solve that. And I hope that's what happens in the next 5 or 10 years, and if it happens in 20, great, and if I'm here to see it, great.
Well, Mike Giardino, we're gonna get back together in 2028 and see where we're at. We'll see. My guess is that that North 40 software will still be out there in one fashion or another, serving small accounting firms. I've been visiting with Mike Giardino, president of North 40 Software and Office Tools Pro. Mike, thank you so very much for your time today. Enjoy the rest of your busy season and our off busy season, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Greg, thank you so much for having us today.
Bye.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.